is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Give us new life, and that he will return to restore all things, to make all things right. We praise God for that. Pray everybody has had a blessed week. Had a good Good Friday. Among many things I've been praying about, been lifting those up who have lost loved ones in this disastrous Maryland bridge attack. Pray for all those who lose loved ones, who go through sufferings or trials, that God will give them the comfort and the peace that they need in their time of need. Well, we're going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus, since this is Easter or Resurrection Sunday today. But before we do, let's go before God in prayer and draw strength from His Spirit. Heavenly Father, we come before You in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank You for Your presence. Thank You for blessing us with this awesome, beautiful weather that You've given us this time of year, spring. New blooms, new beginnings. Give You all the praise and all the glory for Your living Word and for Your written Word that guides us, that strengthens us. Lord, I ask that as we open up Your Word this morning, once again, You'll open up our hearts and our minds to its truths. Help us not only to understand it, but to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And anoint me in delivering Your Word so that You will be honored and that You will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's going to be a longer passage than normal today, but I'm going to read Luke 24, 1 through 12, dealing with the resurrection of Jesus. It says this, the Holy Spirit through Luke says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the angels said to the women, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb and stooped down, and he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves and departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." We're going to be talking about the resurrection, one of the most important events in human history. From the third account of Jesus' life, and this is accredited to Luke, supposedly a Gentile Christian. Now, like all the Gospels, it has many nuggets of truth about Jesus' life, about his ministry. But the Holy Spirit through Luke is rich in details that most of the other Gospels don't have. For instance, the events leading up to, during, and after the birth of Jesus. It has things like songs, prayers, sermons, parables, miraculous accounts, healings, and like all the other Gospels, also the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which we're going to be talking about today from Luke's Gospel. You know, Jesus' ministry was known far and wide because of his healings, because of his Holy Spirit-empowered teachings. And in this gospel, toward the end of his earthly ministry, he was heading to Jerusalem. This was during the time of Passover. Now, he was popular among the common people because of his healings, because of his teachings. But he also was hated by many of the religious leaders. They wanted him crucified. They wanted anything to try to stop him, to try to kill him. And in this gospel, we get into a lot of things during the Passover week, but we also get into how Judas, one of his followers, had betrayed him to these religious leaders who hated him for 30 pieces of silver. talk about the Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We talk about how he was betrayed with a kiss, his arrest, his supposed trials with the religious leaders, Herod, Pilate. Herod and Pilate, by the way, didn't find Jesus guilty of any of the things the religious leaders falsely accused him of. But the crowd had pressured Pilate so much into, "We want Jesus crucified." Even though he claimed to have washed his hands, he gave in to what the crowd said. We talk about how Jesus was mocked, how he was beaten. He had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was spit on. He was led away to be crucified. He was nailed to that cross. While he was being crucified, though, there were other criminals crucified alongside him. One of them realized his innocence and asked if Jesus would remember him when he entered his kingdom. Goes into all that. It talks about how when Jesus died, the land was full of darkness. How the temple's curtain was torn in two. Talked about Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and buried him in a new tomb before the Sabbath. Talked about the women of Galilee and how they prepared spices, burial spices for Jesus. That's where we're going to start today. You know, to the disciples, that includes the women that we're going to see in this chapter. This had to be the worst Sabbath they had ever known. You think about it. They just lost their teacher. They just lost their master, their rabbi. The one who they had hoped would restore the kingdom of Israel. The one they thought would be the Messiah. Can you imagine how disillusioned they felt? We can't comprehend the grief they experienced, they felt. But here they were, these women. The Sabbath was over, and they couldn't bring burial spices on the Sabbath itself. So they had to wait to the first day of the week. Now, the Sabbath, I think, is from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. So this is the first day of the week. At the end of chapter 23, it talks about how these women woke up early that morning to take these burial spices and anoint Jesus' body. So that just goes straight right there. They didn't believe that he would rise again. But little did they know, before they approached that tomb, that this would be a day they'd never forget. This would be a day that would change their lives forever. The stone that was the mouth of the tomb, what I heard, weighed about a couple of hundred pounds. It would take at least three men to roll it away. And Mark's account showed that as these women were approaching the tomb, they were discussing, who's going to roll the stone away for us? They knew they couldn't do it. Now imagine their shock, their unbelief, their surprise when they discovered the stone had already been rolled away. Matthew's account shows that an angel rolled the stone away. Not only that, but he was sitting on it. Now, when these women approached the tomb and they saw this, they went in and noticed the body of Jesus wasn't there. First thing I'm sure that went through their mind was somebody had stolen it. I doubt very seriously they immediately thought he had risen from the dead. But on top of this perplexing discovery, they saw two men. Not only two ordinary men with shining garments, I'm sure the glory of God on them. These were angelic beings. Now, to say the least, these women were awestruck, probably paralyzed with fear, as any of us would be. Fell to the earth in reverence. And the angel spoke to these women. First of all, telling them that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, which was obvious. His body wasn't there. But it wasn't stolen. The angel made it clear, he's alive. He has risen from the dead. And he reminded these women that Jesus had told them this over and over and over again before he was crucified. He told them that he would suffer. He told them he'd be crucified. He told them he'd be buried, but on the third day rise again. One time he likened it to the 3 days in the tomb to the 3 days that Jonah spent in the belly of a great fish. But either it went in one ear and out the other, or, you know, that's not how they pictured the Messiah. They didn't picture him to be a sacrificial lamb who would die and rise again. But that's what he told them over and over and over. And then it dawned on them, oh yeah, I remember he said this to us when the angel reminded him. That's like there are things in God's word that we forget, that the Holy Spirit can sometimes bring to our minds at the right time whenever we need it. Amen? But don't you love the fact that Jesus was no longer in that tomb? No stone could keep him there. No power could keep him in that grave. Glory to God for that. Well, I'm sure after they had recuperated from this shock of what they saw, what they witnessed, what they heard the angel saying, they couldn't wait to go and tell this good news. And the Holy Spirit through Luke talks about the others who were with the 11 disciples. You know, Jesus had many followers, not just as close as 12. But notice what the Holy Spirit does here. He lists the women. Who are the first to have experienced this? Who are the first that would be to tell the disciples? In essence, the first to spread the gospel. But I'm sure that they were excitedly, breathlessly going to the disciples. They couldn't contain this good news any longer. That's just like us when we experience salvation. We have to tell somebody. Any good news that we receive, you just can't contain it. You got to tell somebody. Well, that's how they were. How did the disciples respond? You have to understand they were in such a place of deep despair, probably depression, over who they lost. Sin or leaven of unbelief had permeated that group. Sin is contagious, by the way. But I'm sure that when they heard these women saying this, first thing they probably thought, or maybe even said, is, what is this silliness? He is risen. What kind of crazy talk is this? But Peter, being Peter, had to go to the tomb and see for himself, not believing, but just to see. Probably like the women, not only was he perplexed, but he may have thought that somebody had stolen the body. But what he saw there was the linen cloths lying by themselves. Now to me, that in itself should have proven it wasn't stolen. You think a thief would have taken time to unwrap him before they stole the body? Remember Lazarus, when he rose from the dead, Jesus told the people to unwrap him. He was wrapped from head to toe. Either Jesus unwrapped himself or an angel did so. But Mark's account shows that when Jesus did finally in his post-resurrection form appear to his disciples, first thing he did was rebuke them for not listening to those who had seen and heard, for their unbelief over the fact that he has indeed risen just like he said he would. Time and time again in God's word, we do see this. He keeps his promises. He promised he would rise. He did. All of his promises are yes and amen. I've said this over and over, and I'll continue to say it. Trust in God's word. Trust in his promises. Unlike people, he never goes back on his word or his promises. They're never empty. His word will never come back empty. Empty, but will always, always accomplish what he desires. Amen. You know, resurrection means to restore from death to life. Isn't that a picture of us when we're saved? But when you think about it, so many religions believe in an afterlife, but it's all futile without Jesus. Buddha's dead. Muhammad is dead. Even Christians who claim to exalt some to a status of sainthood, they're dead. None of them have paid the ultimate price for our sins. None of them left an empty tomb never to die again. None of them could defeat death, hell, and the grave. Only Jesus could do that, and only Jesus did it. the divinity of Jesus, his virgin birth, his crucifixion, death, burial, his resurrection, these are foundational to our faith. If you don't believe that, sorry to be so blunt, but you're not really a follower of Christ. But I do thank God that he did rise. I thank God that he is the first fruits of all who will rise. So we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on this Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday. But you know, this should be something we celebrate every day. Because we are given that hope, that blessed assurance, that he's the first fruits of those who will rise. In other words, he rose never to die again. And you know, he rose that we may have new life in him. But not only that, his word promises us that one glorious day, all who fall asleep in Christ, when he comes for his bride, when he comes for his church at the rapture, when the trumpet sounds, will rise too. We're promised physical resurrection also to new glorified bodies. That's something to celebrate. And we will never die again. You know, death couldn't keep Jesus down. The grave couldn't keep him down. And aren't you grateful for that? Where would we be if he hadn't rose? You know what Scripture also says? Death will be the final enemy to be destroyed. We will live in a new world, in new glorified bodies, one day, free of pain, free of sickness, free of death, free of sorrow. How awesome. Well, I enjoyed our time together. Hope that was encouraging. I pray that word was a blessing to you. And I look forward to the next episode. Pray everybody has a great Resurrection Sunday and rest of the week to come.